Hello and welcome to the Burled Arch. The Finisher's Banquet is underway.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
I just pulled out of safety and I'm on the trail alone. I'm doing fine and I'm picking up time and running on in to Nome. There's no sled tracks in front of me and no one's on my tail. I did the Iditarod Trail. Thank you, Hobo Jim. I thought that was the most perfect stanza from the Iditarod Trail song by Hobo Jim to close out this year's Iditarod and our audiophile segment. I really do hope that all of you have enjoyed this new segment. I've enjoyed doing it with you. We've enjoyed receiving ideas and songs and artists from you guys along the way. So, as we are recording this tonight, Robert and our daughter Nicole are on a plane returning to Anchorage from Seattle. They made a very long leg from South Korea last night, and so we are hoping to see them this evening, but it will be well after the Finisher's Banquet has concluded. So I am going to close out this year's nightly coverage on the Burled Arch solo. So here's a section that Robert gave me a note for. He said, typically on our wrap-up show, we always talk about our favorite stories from this year's race. I think you guys could figure out what our favorite stories from the race are. We did enjoy talking about the Tocantins pies. We always enjoy sharing our knowledge of the Red Lantern and the Widow's Lamp with you guys. And of course, Robert really, really enjoys sharing the lore of Old Woman Cabin. That being said, the trail was rough in the beginning. It smoothed out on the river, and then it got rough again on the coast with that storm in White Mountain. There were a lot of things that were going on the trail before, during, and after, and several of the mushers persevered, held tight, and finished the race. We only had a few that needed to scratch, and that, in my opinion, is just fine. There's always going to be some that choose to scratch for the well-being of their dogs and themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. This trail is arduous. Then there was all of the hubbub surrounding the Expedition class. What are your thoughts regarding the Expedition class and how it wound out? We had three mushers or expeditioners start the trail, and we had one finish. I don't think it was that bad of a situation. I think that it did demonstrate that this class may have its place in the future. We're going to have to see how it pans out, though. So I am going to include something a little bit different. And my wrap-up for our show is going to continue to include our musher profile as well as our moment in mushing history. But I'm going to feature something a little bit different because, as we know, the Iditarod for certain is about the trail, the tenacity of the mushers, but also It's about the connection we have to dogs. Based on thousands of years of shared history, people and dogs have a strong affinity that is supported by science and mutually beneficial. Synchronized brainwaves, a common love hormone, oxytocin, feedback loop, and dogs' capacity to provide unconditional support, which frequently rivals human relationships in terms of emotional fulfillment, are all factors in the human-canine bond. A little more than 100 years ago now, Leonard Seppala frequently referred to Togo as the best dog that ever traveled the Alaskan Trail and thought he was his best sled dog. "I never had a better dog than Togo," he said, expressing his admiration for Togo's intelligence, endurance, and loyalty. Seppala often acknowledged that Togo had saved his life, and after the 1925 Sierra run, he believed that Balto had taken precedence over Togo. During an interview with the Gnome Nugget, Jesse Holmes hailed his lead dogs, Zeus and Polar, as the most amazing dog team I've ever seen, following his second consecutive Iditarod victory in 2026. He acknowledged their outstanding effort during the 1,000-mile race and gave them credit for helping him win. Holmes stated that he only removed Zeus once to let someone else have some fun, and that he led every run except for one run in this race. Holmes remarked, "Man, when I put Polar up there, he puffed his chest out. He got his strut on and he said, 'Let's go,' in reference to keeping the older dog back to lighten his workload. It was incredible." I think that that's kind of ironic, don't you? 100 years ago, Seppala said, "I never had a better dog." And 101 years later, Jesse Holmes said, "Zeus and Polar were the most amazing dog team I ever seen." So, there's been 100 years of at least dog mushing as we're familiar with. More than 100 years ago, dog teams were used for all things that we can think of in traversing the Great Northland. I think that it's amazing that the bond that we have with dogs has stood the test of time. Currently, it is 5:35 p.m. Alaska time, and we are observing some of the goings-on at the banquet. And I can see that I can actually see our musher profile of the evening, Roan Booser with his wife Alyssa and their two beautiful children are standing in line waiting to get that yummy food that the local villagers have put together for everybody to enjoy tonight. So I think that that's pretty cool. Let's jump right on over into our musher profile of the evening. And yes, it is Roan Booser, a second-generation competitor carrying forward one of the most respected family legacies in the sport. Roan is based in Talkeetna, where he lives with his wife Alyssa and their children, Kaladin and Elowin. Together, they own and operate Susitna Sled Dog Adventures, a working kennel and tour business that cares for and trains a team of around 60 sled dogs. Their operation runs year-round, blending tourism with the daily demands of maintaining a competitive distance kennel. Mushing has been a part of Roan's life from the very beginning. He is the son of four-time Iditarod champion Martin Booser, and he quite literally grew up in the dogyard, surrounded by some of the sport's most accomplished teams. From an early age, he learned what it takes to manage a kennel, train dogs, and prepare for the long miles of Alaska racing. That foundation shaped not only his skills as a musher, but also his perspective on the responsibility that comes with caring for a team. As he developed his own career, Roan built experience across a wide range of races. His resume includes the Junior Iditarod, the Cusco 300, Kobuk 440, Kinnick 200, and the Yukon Quest Alaska 300, along with multiple finishes in the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. His last run in the Iditarod came in 2015. And now he returns to the trail with renewed focus and experience. For Roan, the Iditarod represents more than competition. It is the ultimate test of teamwork between musher and dogs. A shared journey across Alaska's toughest terrain. He has often described it as traveling with 16 of my best friends. A reflection of the deep bond that defines the sport at its highest level. Away from racing, Roan's life centers on his family, his kennel, and the daily rhythm of working with dogs. Whether guiding guests on tours or training his team, he continues to live the lifestyle he was raised in, one built on hard work, consistency, and respect for the animals that make it all possible. Now, back on the runners, Roan Booser represents both continuity and legacy in mushing. A musher shaped by one generation and now helping to inspire the next. Here's a fun fact. Roan was our co-host in 2025 on the Burled Arch podcast, and we really appreciated his wisdom. He and his family were also featured in issue number 198 of Mushing Magazine, and his son Kaladin appeared in an interview on First Avenue this year with his grandpa Martin. That is truly my favorite portion of this year's Burled Arch podcast. My little interview with Kaladin was very special to me, and I truly enjoyed every moment of it. Checking back in on the banquet, they just focused in on Jesse Holmes getting his plate fully loaded up with all kinds of good-looking items. I saw some side dishes, but I saw a large chunk of some type of meat being put on his plate, and he had a very big grin and looking forward to, I'm sure, enjoying this meal. It looks wonderful. If you don't have Insider, this right here is one of the reasons to get Insider. You really, truly are catching the flavor of Alaska. We are one big community in a small state. All right, let's go back to the show and go to our moment in mushing history. We're going to go way back to March of 1983. Rick Mackey of Wasilla claims 1983 victory on the Iditarod Trail. Greeted by the howling of village dogs, country music squawking from loudspeakers on telephone poles, and the blare of the new village siren, Rick Mackey's seven-dog team moves on to Front Street at 10:10 p.m., bearing time Tuesday, March 17th, to become the second member of his family to claim the Iditarod title. His father, Dick Mackey, won the 1978 race by the incredibly slim margin of 1 second over the 1983 defending champion, Rick Swenson. The Wasilla Mushers' 1983 victory may not have duplicated the suspense of his dad's finish, but for Rick, the race wasn't won until he passed under the arch in Nome. Eep Anderson of Takotna was leading in the final miles of the race, and definitely the challenges of Larry Smith of Dawson and Herbie Nyopuck of Shishmaref were not to be taken lightly. In addition, Mackie was waiting for Swinton to make his move at Shaktulik, 229 miles out from Nome. At that point, Swinton was approximately 11 hours behind the leaders, and none of the frontrunners could take much comfort in that. Swinton is a four-time winner of the Iditarod and a respected strategist. Anderson was leading the way into Nome, and Mackie planned not to pass him until the final 2 or 3 miles because, as he put it, once you pass him, all they have to do is chase and worry you to death. About 15 miles out from the finish line, Mackie's team took the decision out of his hands and went on by Anderson's eight-dog team without any warning. "It all happened so quick, I was past him before I knew it," said Mackie. Anderson almost retook the lead when Mackie stopped to switch leaders, and under these circumstances, Mackie switched off his headlamp because the figured Anderson's dogs were chasing it. Anyone that has ever followed the Iditarod fully recognizes the Mackie name. They are truly a legacy family in the Iditarod. Not only did Dick, Rick, and Lance finish Iditarod respectfully multiple times, Jason has as well. And this year, Brenda finished her first Iditarod, and she is Rick's daughter. She is the niece to Lance and Jason, and Grandpa Dick, I'm sure, is very proud, as well as the fact that two of his family members finished this year's race, Jason and Brenda. Congratulations to the entire Mackie family, and may you always persevere on the Iditarod Trail. Let's talk about the major awards, shall we? The 54th Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race honorary musher was Mary Shields. Leonard Seppala was honored as the number one musher through 1979. In 1980, the Iditarod Committee decided to have Wild Bill Shannon share the honor. Since then, the directors have chosen a person or persons, not necessarily mushers, who have made a significant contribution to the sport of sled dog racing. The honorary musher is listed as the first one out of the starting line. And again, this year it was Mary Shields. The Alaska Air Transit Spirit of Iditarod Award went to Jesse Holmes. That is the McGrath, first to McGrath checkpoint. The GCI Dorothy G. Page Halfway Award recipient went to Jesse Holmes. The first to the Yukon Award went to Jesse Holmes. That's the first musher to Ruby. The Bristol Bay Native Corporation Fish First Award went to Jesse Holmes. Ryanair Gold Coast Award also went to Jesse Holmes. The North Rim Bank Achieve More Award went to Jesse Holmes. Nome Kennel Club Fastest Time from Safety to Nome, that award has yet to be determined. It will be determined during the banquet this evening. Howard Farley Senior Memorial Award presented by the Nome Kennel Club also has yet to be honored. Rookie of the Year. There has obviously been a top finishing rookie in every Iditarod. In fact, rookies won the first three races. It wasn't until 1976 that the top finishing rookie was not the winner. For purposes of this award, a rookie is defined as a musher racing his or her Iditarod for the first time. This award is again presented by the Peldiak family to the top placing rookie, who will receive a beautiful trophy along with a check for $2,000. The rookie of the year is Jesse Terry. Linden committed through the last mile. Red Lantern Award. The Red Lantern Award acts as a symbol of perseverance for the Iditarod. According to historians, awarding the Red Lantern for the last place finisher has become an Alaskan tradition in sled dog racing. The award of $1,000 presented by Linden is given to the final team to cross the finish line in recognition of their perseverance and commitment to completing the job despite unexpected challenges. This year, the Red Lantern Award recipient is Richie Beatty. Glenfarne Alaska LNG Most Improved Musher Award has yet to be determined. The Donlin Gold Sportsmanship Award has yet to be determined. Hillcorp Alaska Most Inspirational Musher Award yet to be determined. Northern Air Cargo Herbie Nilepuck Memorial Award yet to be determined. Golden Clipboard Award yet to be determined. The Leonard Cephala Humanitarian Award presented by Pike Dog Wellness has yet to be determined. City of Nome Lolly Medley Award Golden Harness yet to be determined. Northern Air Cargo Four-Wheeler Drawing yet to be determined. So those that are yet to be determined will be named during the banquet. I personally do not have time to watch the entire banquet, so I do hope that you guys check back in on Iditarod. Even if you're not an insider, they will list all of the award winners on the website within the following week. The banquet is still ripping and roaring while everybody is enjoying their food. They are playing some music and everybody looks like they're having a great time. Let's talk about what's up next on the podcast. We do bi-weekly shows starting as soon as next week on mushing. Interviews with top mushers in the Iditarod continue to cover the rest of the race season. And dry land kicks off in the spring. Up next for the magazine, as soon as tomorrow, we will be laying out issue 202, heavy on photos from this past season, features about the most compelling stories in the sport. And up next for Team and Trail, the Team and Trail Tour 2026, probably in the Mountain West areas like Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah, so stay tuned. The addition to the Team and Trail podcast to our feed. We're super excited about that, and we hope that you guys are too. Stay tuned for more information upcoming about that. We have a huge announcement coming in the next couple of weeks. We hope that you tune in for that. I have spent the better part of the last year archiving every issue of the Team and Trail monthly newsletter. I have worked my way from 1959 to 1999. I still have 2000 through 2009 to go. Bear with me. It will be finished as quickly as I can scan those issues in. We are creating a massive searchable database. This will be one of a kind and very unique to our sport. As a member, you will have full access to the database. That's every issue of Team and Trail. That's every issue of Mushing Magazine and Sled Dog Sports. So we hope that you continue to be a member, continue to listen to the podcast, and let us know what you would like to see as well. Thank you to everyone that tuned in, listened, provided us with feedback, gave us some ideas, and definitely we enjoyed hearing what audio file you wanted us to feature. You are the reason that we are the biggest, most listened to, and downloaded mushing podcast in the world, 16 years strong. Remember, if you have questions, be sure to leave us a text or voicemail by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881 or you can leave us an email at podcast@mushing.com. See you on the trail.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.